And you're talking about the minefield that must be present in order for there to be a universe. Let's elaborate on that a little bit more.
Okay. When the universe first began, when it first big banged, there was basically nothing. And then what was first created were all these luxons. Everything was moving at the speed of light. But something happened. And what happened, or how this happened, we don't really know. But suddenly there was this huge field that emerged and became part of the universe itself. We call it the Higgs field.
Mm-hmm.
I call it the mind of God. What it did is it began to affect some of those particles, namely all those guys that had what is called spin one half. I call them half spins. Maybe they were a little bit half nuts. They were half spinners. And these half spinners got affected by this Higgs field, and they actually slowed down. They went from moving at light speed to zigzagging into the Higgs field, back and forth, back and forth, back and forth, back and forth, effectively appearing on the average to be going slower than light. And there was something else called light itself, the kind of light that we see. That light just zipped through the Higgs field as if it wasn't there. So we had two kinds of light first emerging when the Big Bang occurred and this Higgs field came on. So the Higgs field is to be a God mind or mind of God. In fact, Leon Lederman, who won the Nobel Prize for his experimental discoveries at the Fermi Lab, actually wrote a book calling this Higgs field, or the particle that he hopes will be found from it, the God particle. He believed, I think he was thinking like I'm thinking, and maybe because he's a little older right now, maybe he's not as afraid to use that terminology, but he actually called it that because this is what it seems to be doing. Now, what does it do? In effect, what we're saying is this Higgs field is what is responsible for mass, and mass means inertia, and inertia means hardness. Inertia means the solid, substantial world of matter that we live in and push around and work with and go through life with. So this is basically the picture.
Okay, now, when you talk about God creating the universe, in your definition, what is God?
Well, it's hard to say exactly what God is. What I'm looking at is what God does.
All right.
That's the hard part. It gets to a point where when we push the mystery as far back into how much we can understand as possible, and the mystery starts right here with this field. So here we have this Higgs field, which to me is like God's brain, if you will. It's a brain as big as the universe. It's the huge thing itself, and yet it's invisible. We don't really sense it, although if you just think about little things you're doing, if you get out of your chair or lift your arm or whatever, what you're experiencing is you say, well, I'm experiencing the mass of my arm or the weight of my body or whatever. But actually what you're experiencing is your relationship of the light particles, which are making you up, interrelating with the Higgs field. So you're experiencing, if you will, and this is going to be mind-boggling for people listening out there, you're experiencing the mind of God. You are in the mind of God, so to speak. You are, if you will, dreams of the mind of God. You're light playing in God's mind.
Now, do you think...
Now, that may be mind-boggling, but that's basically the picture we have here.
I mean, it does. You know, when you said earlier that this Big Bang occurred from nothingness, I can't comprehend what nothing is.
Nobody can comprehend what it is. You see, there's right now, nothing has become something.
I mean, I know what blank is, but blank is something.
Well, yeah, that's the problem.
Yeah.
You see, see, we're at a point where our semantics gets us in the way. We get tongue-tied. We end up in just our tongue twisting around in our heads and coming out with, blah, blah, I don't know. And we can't do anything with it. In fact, vacuum, so-called, that was supposed to be nothing. And we can now imagine a vacuum of nothing and a vacuum with the Higgs field. And we see there's a difference between the two. One is called real vacuum. The other is called false vacuum. We have all these kind of funny names that we give to nothing. If we go into the spiritual aspect of it, this is another insight that
right.
you get.
And this is important.
What?
And this is very important, the spiritual end of it.
Get to the spiritual aspect. In the Bible, the very first few lines, it says that, you know, and God created the universe, and he said, let there be light, and there was light. Well, if you look at the way that's written in the Hebrew Bible with Hebrew letters, you have the word Aleph Vav Resh, which is pronounced or, which means light, in two places in the same grouping of letters. Now, Kabbalists, people who study the spiritual aspect of this stuff, they go a little bananas when they see light mentioned twice. They think, what is that? Why two lights? If God created light, once is enough. Why do you have to mention it twice? Because there are two kinds of light. There's the light that is going to be the stuff that becomes matter. That's the spin one-half stuff. And there's light, which is going to be the medium of sending messages around, mm-hmm. which is the light we see with our eyes. So the God brain, if you will, is playing a game of dancing in light, with light that is bouncing around in the Higgs field, or you might call it the brain of God, brain mind of God, playing and doing this dance. And we are the outcomes of that dance. We're that dream. That's what we are.
When this was written in the Torah, right?
This is in the Torah.
Or the Bible.
Right out of the Torah, yes.
How did they know this? The writers?
You know, that's a good question.
You know, some will say, wait a minute, it's the Word of God. And, you know, I can accept that. But, I mean, still, the actual writer.
You know it, or whether this is Fred Allen Wolf, Dr. Quantum, seeing this. When I look at it in Hebrew and I look at the Kabbalistic meaning of it and discuss it with other Kabbalists, we come to a similar conclusion, although they may not say it the same way.